Hi, I'm Danielle Laguerre, and welcome to Social Quarantine, the podcast. This podcast was created to explore how we can stay connected and maintain community, even during times of disaster and crisis. Today, I come to you from my couch in Buffalo, New York. It's May 6th, and I have been in quarantine for almost 2 months. Like everybody else, I have been trying to make the most of my newfound spare time. I've been baking a lot and reading in bed whenever possible. I mean, we're all kind of tired at this point, right? One book I recently read in bed was called All Edge, Inside the New Workplace Networks by Clay Spinuzzi. This book discusses the way that workplaces have changed, especially when it comes to how we communicate, collaborate, and coordinate. This book was published long before the COVID-19 crisis, all the way back in 2015. But so much of what Spinuzzi wrote is now more relevant than ever. We have all changed our lives with this pandemic. And for most of us, that includes how we interact with others and organize our work. Today's episode is inspired by Spinuzzi's book, and my friends Chris Seymour and Madeline Otero are joining our conversation to discuss their recently altered workplaces. Chris is a commercial insurance account associate in the retail division of a prominent insurance company in downtown Buffalo. His role includes making sure that insurance policies are up to date on billing and being the middleman from the insured to the carrier. He is now learning to work from home after only being in this new position for 90 days. Madeline is a fifth-year, sixth-grade teacher in a Buffalo City charter school. She just received her master's degree in differentiated instruction and gifted education from Canisius College. And next year, she is taking on a new role as a math specialist at the same school. Thanks so much for joining us, you two.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Yay. So before we dive in, I have to ask, how are you guys feeling after another day of social distancing?
I mean, I feel like at the beginning, it was different each day because it was still so new. And I'm sure there's still new challenges that are faced every day, but it seems almost normal.
I think for me, my mood depends strictly on the weather. So it's sunny outside today, so I'm happy. If it's raining, I'm in bed.
I get that. I am the same way. Cheers to the sunshine that we've been having lately.
Yeah, except there's a freeze warning coming, so
we don't need to talk about that.
We don't need to talk about that. All right, so Chris, why don't we start with you? Could you give us an overview of your career and what's led you to where you are professionally today?
Sure. Like you mentioned in your intro, only being in my position for 90 days, it's been definitely a challenge. But going way back, you've known me quite a long time.
Yes.
I guess my working career really started with a large fruit company that I spent 4, good years with in my early ages from 20 to 24. I think that was a real giant, kind of big wave to try to surf when you're that young and working for such a giant company. And I think it kind of wore on me too early. If I would have had it at as an older age, I would have probably stuck with it a little bit longer, but I wasn't mature enough to handle that type of, career.
Sure.
And I think that really led me into just a plethora of different careers. I went everywhere from the bar business, to just all different sorts of little jobs sprinkled in between. And then even a small stint in the financial professional realm, which I think was because I wanted to have this lavish life that they promised. And being a financial professional, there's no promises, there's no promises of tomorrow in that career, and it's hard when you're not, you know, everything's commission and you're thinking, well, this is fine. Like, but you know, if you're not, if it's a younger man's career for sure. So I think it's kind of funny how they clash. If I would have had that as a younger age, but worked at, you know, in technology later, how different would it be? But I've always thought everything I've done has led me to where I am now. And only just being in this new career for 90 days, another challenge arose with being working from home. And that's not something my company even offers until you work there for a year. So there was no pre-training for me or anything like that. I just had to kind of fake it till I make it. And right. That's where I'm living right now. But I don't feel stressed or anything, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Madeline, it's your turn. Could you tell us a little bit more about about your professional journey?
Sure. So I'm a fifth year teacher. I went to school at Buff State and kind of fell into my first teaching job at a Catholic school where I taught fifth and sixth grade math. And then I kind of, you know, transitioned into more of an urban environment and I fell in love with it. And I took a sixth grade position, which I was really excited about because, you know, as a middle school teacher, you kind of have to love sixth graders and middle schoolers in order to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're a little strange, but so, you know, it's really been awesome experience at my school, and classroom teaching has its challenges and high levels of stress, and so, you know, moving on to another position is very exciting. Being a math specialist, I'll be working with younger kids and still teaching math, which is something I'm pretty passionate about, but in more foundational ways.
Yeah, thank you. And congratulations on the new job. It's super exciting.
Thank you.
So right now, it sounds like both of you are working from home 100%. Neither of you are going into the office or to your school at all right now. Is that right?
No, we're not at all. We've been home and really only leaving to go to the grocery store or for a walk.
Gotcha. Yeah, when this all first went down, we actually both had gotten sick a week before even any of the mandatory quarantine went into place with something different. It's a very poor time to come down with an illness during a pandemic that wasn't pertaining to the pandemic. But my office immediately went almost full skeleton crew. And I think even now only the partners are there once or twice a week, but I have not gone anywhere near my office since March 15th.
Yeah, it's great that you've both had the opportunity to keep your distance and, you know, to move your work remote.
Well, yeah, and I think of how lucky I am to have started a career that has this ability to work from home. If I was still in the bar game, in the restaurant business, you know, and I have a lot of friends that are in that right now, fighting with unemployment and trying to make money, and you can't bartend from home as much as I know as a lot of my friends probably wish they could. But I think, I don't know who to thank, but I think whoever it is that I lucked into a career 90 days before a pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you were saying before about, you know, being a financial professional and how there's no guarantee in that career, I think about the challenges that people could potentially be facing now in that career.
I can't even imagine with 401ks getting just annihilated right now and somehow trying to tell your clients that it's going to be fine all while working from home with no face-to-face interaction other than maybe a FaceTime or a Zoom.
Sure.
I couldn't have got out of there at a better time.
Sure, absolutely. And I do think that you have kind of like the million-dollar idea with this figuring out a way to bartend from home. Will.
Yeah, if we could come up with something.
I mean, he's bartending for me at home, so.
It's true.
I am envious. All right. So how have your jobs changed since you started working from home? In particular, Madeline, I can imagine that trying to teach young children at a distance has been a really big shift.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my job is completely different than it was. I had a very tough year behaviorally with my kids, and I was feeling very stressed. And so it's been this wild, wild shift to go from being very stressed out and busy all the time to sleeping until 9 o'clock every day. and, you know, taking a nap in the middle of the day. But, like, you know, things are totally different. And, you know, it's wild. It really is truly wild. I don't know. It's,
honestly, I've always had appreciation for teachers, but after seeing it up front, trying to distance teach or distance learning when they've never done it before.
Yeah.
I have a whole new respect for teachers and definitely thankful that I have my AirPods so I can listen to something else, because listening to her try to corral 70 kids into even just playing a game on Google Hangout takes up near an hour to even get started.
Yeah, I don't think Chris is going to be teaching 11-year-olds anytime soon. I don't think it's his forte.
I mean, who knows? He has done a little bit of everything, so only time will tell. So,
I hope not.
So, Madeline, are you still approaching writing your lesson plans in the same way that you did before?
No. So we used to complete very detailed lesson plans where we attached our worksheets, our standards, how we were going to differentiate our lesson, what technology we were going to use, the process, like minute by minute. It was all there. And now our administrators have just connected to our Google Classroom as students. So instead of us actually completing lesson plans and submitting them a week in advance like we were before, they're just a part of our class and can see whether or not we're posting material and, activities for our students.
Interesting. So that's mm-hmm. definitely a big change then.
It's a big, big change. And even the nature of our assignments has changed, because when you're not with a kid face-to-face, your expectations, you know, have to be a little bit lower for what they can accomplish without any help. And yes, parents might be able to help them, and maybe they won't, and so you kind of have to gear things towards kids whose parents might have to still go to work, or, you know, it's just a different environment, home versus school.
Absolutely.
So everything's different.
Yeah. How about you, Chris? Have you experienced a lot of big changes so far in the 90 days?
That's funny. Well, honestly, I think, so at the beginning, I was like, I'm going to do this right. Like, at work, I have two screens, which is super, super helpful when I'm, you know, trying to do multiple Excel spreadsheets at the same time, or take something from one application and move it to another. And when it started, I realized I didn't have one. So I hooked up an old TV and I set up a little desk and a little office. First week, I was like, I'm going to do every day. I'm going to be here. And within, I don't know, a week, I was moved to the couch. Yeah. Still working, but the TV just wasn't cutting it, because it was still a tiny laptop screen and then a giant computer TV screen. So that has been the hardest thing for me, but I've worked pretty hard to make sure I understand what I'm doing, and just a lot of flipping back and forth. But I think the only big changes we see is things that had to be like wet signed before that couldn't be e-signed. Mm-hmm. They've changed those rules, so we can actually have things e-sign that weren't able to be before. And when we send out insurance certificates and evidences of insurance, those had to be paper, and they have now been able to be emailed.
Okay.
So people have made the changes for us to, you know, to be able to operate.
Sure, sure. Do you think that any of those changes will be permanent even after the pandemic has passed?
I think they'll take a look at it, but I don't think it'll be their immediate goal to have those permanently changed.
Sure.
Because once, if we're back in the office and we have the printer, you know, other than saving paper, which would be great, there'd be no reason for us not to be able to print them and mail them out, or, get a signature from a client.
Right. That makes sense.
But yeah, I think it's something they'd take a look at.
Gotcha. Well, speaking of technology and, setting up our remote workspaces, what tools and technologies are you both of you relying on to collaborate and communicate with your coworkers, or in Madeline's case, with your students?
So our school is a Google school. So primarily for our meetings, we're using Google Hangouts or Google Meet. And, you know, our kids have access to Google Hangouts, so we'll do instant messaging with our kids if they have a quick question, which is nice. Google Classroom has been a game changer and a lifesaver. Luckily, we've been using it in my classroom all year, so the kids are very familiar with it. So it was a pretty easy transition. And, YouTube is the best. I can't say enough good things about YouTube. It has saved my life. There are videos on everything. It's so easy to upload. So I think between Google Classroom, Google Meet, Google Hangouts, and YouTube, we're all set over here.
Well, you sponsorship here.
I need a YouTube sponsorship. I'm here for it.
I was just going to say, speaking of being here for YouTube, you, Madeline, have been making incredible YouTube videos to help other teachers navigate and solve problems with the Google Classroom. So how has that been going?
I have 3.5 thousand views on one of my videos, and I feel like a rock star.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's been really great. There are teachers in my school who are very good with technology and teach with it every day. And there are teachers who are a little bit more apprehensive about it and are very effective without using it. And so, when I was figuring out problems and how to do things, I instinctively made a video to show, you know, some of my coworkers. And I ended up sending them out to the whole school and making them public on YouTube. And it's funny how, you know, the problems that you have in your school that you have to solve are the problems that everyone's having with distance learning. So, you know, it's been really cool to get comments from people I don't know who are like, thank you for explaining this. We love this, you know? And I've really enjoyed it. Now I'm like, maybe I should be a YouTuber when I grow up.
That is awesome. I am not surprised at all to hear that you're doing so well with it. Your one video, was it the avocado video? So good.
Guacamole.
That was a Chris Seymour, Madeline Otero collaboration. He directed the whole thing.
Love it. Chris, what tools are you using to collaborate and communicate with coworkers?
Well, we've definitely learned the age-old question of, could that meeting have been an email? that question has finally definitely been solidified, that there's a lot of meetings that could have been emails. But really, most of my work is cloud-based. I'd say 99% of it, whether it being a web page or the program that we use to, you know, keep all of our accounts, is cloud-based. The internet is without, you know, that's been my main tool. Otherwise, I don't really need much, and it's been great.
I think you guys use Zoom too, right?
Yeah, Zoom for meetings, and we've instituted some Zoom Hangout, like happy hours. Powers that be, the wellness committee, they've kind of put something together where people can, you know, send pictures of their new coworkers, which would be like their dogs and their girlfriends, wives and stuff, and they're trying to keep morale pretty high, which is nice.
That's awesome. I have definitely been including my pug Chase in any Zoom meeting I possibly can.
He loves it. He needs the spotlight.
He really does, and he has so much insight to share too, so beneficial. Loads of wisdom. One of the challenges of working remotely can be lack of support. According to Spinuzzi, virtual team members often report difficulties with training, forming relationships, and making decisions. Chris, with you being so new to your position, have you experienced this at all?
Absolutely. I'd say once every few days I get emailed a task that I just have no idea, or maybe I just don't understand their email, or, you know, maybe the way they worded it. But our phone system is so big. It's such a big part of our company. I am able to just call that person immediately, and there's no worries that they're not going to answer because everyone's office phone is being routed to their cell phones right now. Mm-hmm. So instead of spinning my wheels, which I was doing at the beginning, I was like, no, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get this without, you know, having to ask questions. And I learned right away that just call them. it's so much easier. And that's where the difficulty had come in. As far as training, that's, you know, kind of on hold.
Right.
Really just, you know, sink or swim at this point. But I feel very comfortable with what I'm doing.
Well, that's good to hear. I know what you mean. I think it's difficult for anybody to make that switch to, you know, a distance work environment, but being so fresh in your new position definitely makes things more complicated.
Absolutely. And it has squashed any chance of, you know, really forming any relationships that I hadn't made yet.
Right.
I thankfully had made a few before this all went down, so I'm at least able to keep in contact with them, which is nice. And it's funny because when I was looking for a new job in between here, I was certain I wanted to work from home, and there was really nothing out there unless you wanted to do like telemarketing or something like that. Mm-hmm. And now I realize why there's not just here, take this new job and work from home. You have to have some form of base to work off of. You can't just jump into a career like that and work from home.
Yeah, for sure. I've been in my position now for almost 2 years, and if I didn't have those 2 years in the office, like in that environment, learning everything, I couldn't imagine just being thrust into working from home without like that foundation.
Correct.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So another thing that Spinuzzi talks about in his book, is that working from home can sometimes make you feel like you're on call 24/7. And really seep into our personal time and our personal lives. Have either of you felt that way since moving everything home as a result of the pandemic?
I think as a teacher, you know, I already had that propensity to like work on weekends and grade after school. And those lines were already kind of blurred for me, although it was something that I was constantly working on. But, you know, with now working from home, in the beginning, I really had to struggle to form a routine. And I think Chris working from home as well really helped me. You know, there were times that I would work all day and then realize I needed to make an assignment for the next day. And so I was, you know, creating something at 9 p.m. And that, for me, that just doesn't work for my brain and for my mental health. And I know for some people it does. They work at night versus the morning. But I've now kind of gotten myself on Chris's schedule. So he logs on at 8 and then, you know, I get up an hour later. And
nice.
And I sign out at 4:30 when he signs out, because if I don't, you know, it ends up taking away that time for us to be together and to, like, be in our house and for me to read and you know, take care of myself during this time.
Gotcha. So that actually provides a really nice segue for my next question. I have to ask, your work from home / workspace situation is especially intriguing because you guys just moved in together less than a year ago, right?
It'll be a year on June 1st.
Okay. So how has it been sharing your new workspace with your new live-in significant other and a cat and a new dog?
I think we're doing really well.
I do too. I mean, obviously not many are familiar with our apartment, but having a bedroom, a kitchen, and a living room, there's no escape. And honestly, in this entire, you know, what is it, 50 plus days, I've never once felt that need to, I have to get out of here, I can't do this. Even if it's just putting your headphones in and listening to something else at the same time while she does work. We've made it work with, you know, 10 feet apart from our desks somehow. I think it's a real testament to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really great because we're both working. So, like, if one of us wasn't working and the other one was, I think it would be more difficult to, you know, keep the peace. But we're, like, I'm focused on my work and he's focused on his work. And it's almost like, you know, we're still working and coming back together at the end of the day, which, you know, thank goodness, because
right, if she was teaching and I was throwing Call of Duty and shooting guns and blowing up countries, I could see that, you know, really weighing on someone because they're still putting the time in, the other person's not. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm sure there are couples that one person is unemployed and, or both, who knows.
And, but it's really worked for us, you know, both of us. And we'll see how it goes in the summer when I stop teaching. Yeah. But I'll just go for more walks.
And that's not to say there hasn't been challenges or downtimes or, you know, it would be abnormal if we didn't have little, you know, squabbles or anything like that. So I think in the grand scheme of things, we haven't tried to fight each other. We're doing pretty well. And then, of course, adding this beautiful baby dog to the mix.
Yes, beautiful baby dogs just make everything better.
They do. Even if there was a down, it's now just all up.
Aw, you guys are amazing. That is really encouraging to hear. I feel like most people would be ready to kill each other if they were in your situation. So kudos to you. Madeline, an idea for the summer, maybe you should play Call of Duty.
I think I might. Maybe I'll play like his Sabres game or whatever so I can, you know, make him angry and be like, look how much
I would like to see her play Call of Duty. I don't own it, but I would get it just to see her try to do it.
I'm over.
Terrible at video games, Danielle. Like, it's truly just atrocious.
No, me too. So I'm going to take the day off of work. We're going to have a horrible time figuring out Call of Duty, and we're just going to irritate Chris all day.
I'm picturing you standing outside our front windows with a, like, wireless controller.
Yeah, well, of course, at a 6-foot distance. Yeah. We're going to get this figured out and nailed down after the episode.
I'm on Amazon right now.
Excellent.
I think the biggest thing to take away from it all is, even if there are little things that are driving you crazy and you start to feel like you're nitpicking, like, just think of the grand scheme of things and the what's better for the greater good, and is that argument really necessary?
My friend Faith, we know and love Faith,
yes,
she always says, like, you know, if I'm annoyed with Chris or something's going on, she's like, just remember, like, he's your person, he's your favorite person, and, you know, you wouldn't want to be anywhere, you wouldn't want to be here with anyone else.
Correct.
And so that's really put it all in perspective. Anytime I get grumpy or whatever, you know, we can resolve it pretty quickly.
That's amazing. And also really, really good advice to keep in your back pocket.
Yep.
So other than being able to appreciate each other and, you know, not fight a ton, have you experienced any other unexpected successes while working from home, personally or professionally?
I'm going to jump in real fast on that one because I think, and I don't even think either of us have noticed it, we've built a routine that we might have never had before, and we're like clockwork now. You know, like, of course, I get up, I guess I start working. We have the coffee on a timer. She comes, you know, into the living room a little bit later and starts working. But then at 4:30, like she said, that's time for us to walk the dog. We feed both animals at 5. We have dinner right before Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
You guys, I love it. Sounds like a great routine.
It's literally the most Monday through Friday, like 8-to-5 routine I could have ever imagined for. And then it makes the weekends even exciting again while already working from home. Mm-hmm. It definitely makes Saturday and Sunday, or even, you know, Friday night Zoom happy hours into Saturday and then Sunday so much more appreciative. I appreciate them more than I did when I was working. And I don't know if that sounds crazy, but it's that time where I can shut the computer off and know. And, you know, even when you're talking about on-call 24/7, the most amazing thing about my company is that was something they promised, was an 8 to 4:30, no matter what. Mm. You don't, your phone doesn't ring after that. And they've held true to that. And I still feel that way working, you know, away from the office. But that's my unexpected success.
It's a big one.
Forgot my unexpected success.
It's okay. I mean,
Chris had so many successes that it's enough for both of you. But I mean, if it comes to you,
I remembered.
Yay.
I remembered. Okay. So I think as a couple, it's been really special for us to be able to see what the other person does. And to see what the other person does and know what the other person does, like very intimately, like Chris said, he didn't know what it was like to try and wrangle set, like, and when he said 70 sixth graders taking an hour to get on the game, it was five. Like, there was only five kids in that chat. And it took us 40 minutes to get a Kahoot started. And, like, you know, it's just part of it, you know, because the kids don't know the technology as well as we do. And so, you know, him getting to see what it's like for me to work with these kids who need a lot of wrangling. And then for me to get to know, you know, his coworkers and what his work looks like and what he does day to day. It's really cool.
She gets to hear my customer service voice.
I do get to hear his customer service voice.
Oh my gosh. What's it like?
It's just so pleasant.
That's great.
But I mean, besides that, I do have to say, as stressful as this time is, and as anxiety inducing as, you know, the virus is, and how we don't want any of our loved ones or anyone to get sick, I do feel like my stress levels and my anxiety levels are way down because I'm in my house, in my space where I can kind of control what happens, get enough sleep, things like that. And so I just feel like this is the only time I'm really ever going to work from home as a teacher. So I'm trying to enjoy it the best that I can.
Yeah, for sure. That's so interesting because I think a lot of people would say that their anxiety is up right now. So to hear that you're having kind of an opposite experience, that's wonderful for you.
I think that comes from, I'm an introvert. So I think not, you know, just having Chris here, who's my person, it's almost like I'm alone all the time because I'm so used to being with him. So I think my batteries are remaining charged for longer.
Yeah.
Which is why you'll notice me dipping out on, you know, Zoom happy hours and things like that. It's because I have to go recharge.
That is one thing that has changed for me is this has made, not that I'm not still an extrovert. I just don't like going out anymore.
I'm shocked to hear that.
But of course, that's just from the new stuff with the masks and everything. But public just does not feel the same anymore. And I have had very little urge to leave the house.
And when we do leave, we look at each other and we're like, want to go home?
Yeah. Or let's make this as quick as we possibly can. We got to go back home. And that's the thing I hate the most. I mean, Right. Obviously, other, like, the world being different, but right. Those are things I enjoyed, and I don't want to become an introvert. So.
It's not a bad thing to be.
Yeah, introvert power. On a closing note, do either of you have any suggestions or advice for, you know, maybe someone who's graduating or about to start a new career in either of your fields right now during these crazy times?
So I'm still close with some of my professors, and I actually had one reach out and ask me because she's teaching students who are about to graduate. And of course, they're freaked out. Their student teaching has changed. You know, the requirements don't look like they've changed. But now is a better time than ever to familiarize yourself with educational technology. And so taking that time to simply like look something up on YouTube that you've heard and kind of getting lost in like a little YouTube hole. Mm-hmm. Because I know that when I sit on interviews for the next year, my questions are going to be about technology. Because if you haven't, every single teacher has rose to the occasion. And so now when we do go back to in-person school, it's going to have to be integrated because we now know the value of it in case of emergency. So I think that's my biggest piece of advice. And also to not feel like you can't apply because, you know, we're moving ahead hiring as if we're going to be in person in September, whether we are or not. So, you know, still put yourself out there. I did a Zoom interview for my new position. It was weird, but it was also great.
And successful.
And successful. And I even wore real work pants.
No way.
I did. I was afraid I would have to like stand up or something. I didn't want to like be wearing my holy sweatpants.
I mean, you interviewed for a new job online. It's incredible.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
My advice would be, especially for someone, you know, starting a new career, depending on their age, but don't ever feel like you have to do what you're doing. I know it kind of seems scary. You have to feel committed to this new job. And I'm not saying just quit every job you don't like, but, you know, take it all in. Look at your support group around you. And if it's something that is just you can't do anymore, or it's eating at the very core of who you are, you don't have to do it.
Right.
And I'm not saying just quit the job because someone was mean to you, but, you know, leaving a job like I did with literally no backup plan, but having, you know, the most amazing support system next to me that was on the same page as me, it makes that whole decision so much easier. And if the job's not working for you, you're not stuck. And, you know, if you want to learn a skill, like you went and got a 4-year degree and you don't like it, learn a skill. Like, there's other options out there.
Yeah, I have to say, Chris, making the move from one career to another career really has made our lives so much better. And, you know, not being afraid to make that change for the betterment of your life, I think, is really important and really good advice.
Yeah, do you.
I love that. This is all great advice, and do you is the perfect note to end on, I think. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure socially distancing with you.
Oh, I miss you so much.
I miss you.
So, maybe we can get the dogs together.
Yes. Yes. Thank you again to Chris Seymour and Madeline Otero for joining us today. After our conversation ended, I wondered what Clay Spinuzzi's thoughts are on our current workplace networks. As we discussed with Madeline and Chris, and as Spinuzzi mentions in his book, there are a lot of drawbacks when it comes to working remotely. However, the COVID-19 crisis has opened our eyes to possibilities when it comes to how we coordinate and collaborate our work. While a sixth grade teacher probably will not continue to teach remotely after the pandemic, it is possible that other industries might be forever changed. Now that we have all become more comfortable with tools and technologies such as Zoom and other internet-based applications, offices that once required employees to report to a physical workspace every day might offer greater flexibility in the future. The real question might be whether or not employees want that flexibility, or if they would prefer to go back to the structure of an office. What will the workplace and our work networks look like in the future? Stay tuned, I guess. Stay strong, stay healthy, stay social, and thanks for listening to Social Quarantine.